Welcome to Planning for Retirement with Scott Nelson. Plan well, retire happy.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to Planning for Retirement, your podcast that hopefully gives you some helpful tips and hints and education so that you can make good, informed decisions on your road to retirement as you plan for retirement. So Elise asked some questions today, and they were really good ones. So I figured we'll just record this.
Yes. So I have some questions because the more that I learn, the more that I hear from clients that come in or that call that have questions. A big one is when they are getting close to retiring, they have saved up in their retirement account, which is normally a 401k, and they have all that money there. They probably have a really big savings in their bank account. So they have a question. How do you know where to pull your money from when in retirement? Is there a certain method to do that? And what is it? Where do I start? When do I start pulling money out? It's a common question, and a lot of people don't know. So, Scott?
It's complicated, and it depends. My favorite answer, it depends. So part of it depends how much do you have in savings, what type of savings is it, and what is your opinion as to where tax rates are going to go in your future. To make recommendations for a specific client, we would get all of their balances, account information, etc., and we would put it into several different versions of software to come up with what we believe is an optimal withdrawal strategy. To talk about the basics, let's define types of accounts. And we will assume, for the sake of this broadcast, that we're all in agreement that taxes have to go up in the future. We're at a, $34 trillion deficit that they will admit to now, increasing by $2 trillion per year. Obviously, something has to be done, and there's only two levers to pull. You can cut spending or raise taxes to close the gap, or some combination of both. I'll leave it to you to decide which is more likely. I think I can solidly defend tax rates have to increase. If that's true, then according to best-selling author David McKnight, author of Power of Zero, in a rising tax rate environment, there are actually mathematically ideal amounts to have in two of the three buckets that we're going to talk about, and everything else should go in the third. So from an IRS perspective, let's talk about our first bucket and call it a taxable bucket. Now, if I say taxable bucket to you, Elise, what do you think of?
Income,
correct.
Savings.
Correct. How do you know if you have an account in the taxable bucket?
Well, you like to call it a little love note from the IRS.
Yeah, if you get a 1099, even though you didn't withdraw any money, you have a taxable account. So that means that the earnings on those funds in that account have to be reported on your tax return, even though you didn't take a distribution. And so, ironically, it's one of the few things that even Dave Ramsey and Sue Zorman agree with. We should have about 3 to 6 months worth of I can pay all the bills money in our taxable account. What types of accounts can we have in a taxable account? Well, a lot, really. Checking, if you get interest on it, savings, certificates of deposit, CDs, money market accounts, any non-qualified brokerage account, mutual funds, really anything that's non-qualified. That means that the deposits you've made into that account were already taxed, and the earnings on it are taxed each year. So that's a taxable account. So there's your first bucket. So the second bucket that we like to talk about, and why do we call it a bucket? Well, because it can have lots of different accounts in it. So it's just kind of a visual image that worked. For some reason, buckets have become kind of something people like to talk about in my industry. So in a tax-deferred bucket, if I say tax-deferred bucket to you, Elise, what do you think of?
I don't have to pay tax now.
Right. We're putting it off. We're taking our chances. And so tax-deferred buckets can have all types of different accounts in them. Their name typically reflects the IRS code that established them. So IRAs, individual retirement accounts, simple IRAs, SEP, self-employed pension plans, KEO, 401ks, 457s, 403bs, 401as. There's a list. They have different contribution limits. They have sometimes different minimum withdrawal ages, but they all work in basically the same fashion. You're going to put money into these accounts before taxes are calculated. And so let's say you're making $100,000 a year, and let's say you have a 401k that you can contribute to for easy math. Let's say you're putting $10,000 into the 401k. That means your taxable income for this year will only be $90,000. The $10,000 went into your 401k to be taxed at some point at a later date, at whatever rates are then. So if you think taxes are going up in the future, we really want to be very careful about what we put into this bucket. Now, this bucket can be ideal. Believe it or not, it is possible using the tax-deferred bucket to never have those dollars taxed ever. How can that be?
Yeah, how can that be?
So if at your required minimum distribution age, the amount in this tax-deferred account is such that your required minimum distribution, RMD, is equal to or less than your standard deduction, because you probably won't have any other deductions left at that point. If you don't have any other taxable income, this is where you're pulling taxable income from. If what you take out is less than your standard deduction, you owe no tax. So think about that for a minute. You got to put money away tax deducted. It grew tax deferred, and you're getting it out tax free. That's like the trifecta. If we could do this, wow, we'd really have something, right? Of course, the IRS is not going to allow that. They're going to have a shot at taxing it. So it really is limited to the amount of your standard deduction. So for most folks without pensions, that number is going to come in somewhere around $200,000 to $500,000 at their age, 73 or 75, whatever their RMD age is. So it's not a ton of money, but if you can get it tax-free, let's do that.
Yeah, right? For sure.
So beyond that, all the rest of your money should be contributed to the IRS calls it a tax-advantaged bucket or account. I prefer tax-free myself. But this would be all of the various Roth accounts. And Secure Act 2.0 introduced three more new types of Roth accounts. So what do you mean different types of Roth accounts? Well, I'm saying you can have a Roth IRA. You can have a Roth 401k. You can now have a Roth simple. You can have a Roth SEP. And we have always been able to do Roth conversions. So there's at least five different Roth categories with slightly different rules. But the punchline is for all of them, if you put money in, you're over 59 and a half when you take it out, it's not going to be taxable in your future retirement. So
for those who are working, contributing to their 401k, I think it'd be wise to see if there is a Roth 401k option to contribute.
For sure. And so these are employer-sponsored plans, which means the employer gets a say in the rules. As long as they stay inside of the IRS guidelines, they can adjust things. What does that mean? Well, that means they can allow employees to do after-tax contributions to the 401k, aka Roth 401k. It does not mean they have to match those dollars. So mathematically speaking, if the employer is not going to match your Roth contribution, then you should make traditional pre-tax contributions to your 401k up to the level of the match. Nothing beats a 100% immediate free return on your money via the employer matching dollars. Don't let anybody tell you different. So if they will put their match into the traditional 401k for you contributing to the Roth 401k, just start there. Don't make that problem any bigger than it needs to be later. If there's no employer match, well, let's go see what else we can do instead. Because typically those employer plans, they're chosen based on their really low expense ratios to the employer. And they don't often offer the flexibility and investment choices that you might wish they did. There are some 401ks now because of that that are allowing advisors like myself to step in and help manage the portfolio and try to optimize those returns. But if you can get that match, if there's a Roth contribution offered, that's going to give you the largest contribution limit of any of the retirement plans.
Great. So we covered three different buckets.
Mm-hmm.
The first being our taxable bucket,
correct,
which should have 3 to 6 months worth.
Yep, emergency fund money, really.
Yes.
You don't want a lot more than that for a couple of reasons. First, it's inefficient. If it's emergency fund money, these are typically more liquid accounts that are lower yielding, and those lower yields are lowered further because of the tax bill each year. So we just don't want too much there. And on top of that, once you are retired, then the earnings from those accounts get put into your provisional income formula, which can cause your Social Security to be taxed. So we don't want that either.
And then our second bucket, which is tax deferred, that's your 401k, IRA, all of those. And how much should be in that bucket?
We want to for sure get the employer match if we're doing a 401k with the match. So for sure that, but we want that balance at your required minimum distribution age to be low enough that your RMDs are less than your standard deduction and don't affect your provisional income.
And then we have the tax-free or tax advantage bucket.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to be all of your Roth accounts and some properly structured cash value life insurance products can also function in that way if they're set up correctly.
Yes. So the next question would be, how do you know which one to pull from first?
Software.
Yes.
Software. And so I guess one misconception that we want to dispel would be we don't have to choose to take from just one. Right? Ideally, in retirement, you're going to have multiple streams of income. So it could include a pension if you have that, Social Security, certainly. And then if we're setting up distributions from a particular account or accounts, we want to see what's going to be optimal in your situation. And that requires software, frankly, just too many calculations. But as we look at that, typically we would say, let's try to figure out how to have the optimal balances in each as you're going into retirement. So if we need to do some Roth converting, we can. And that allows us then to take distributions from our tax-deferred accounts less than our standard deduction so that it's not taxable and take the remainder from tax-free or Roth-type accounts so that we've optimized our income streams.
That's great. I know that you have a couple different scenarios that you've shared with people of just changing where you take from.
It's huge.
The taxes are, but the software will do all that. It'll do it all. And we can do that if you want to come see us, and we'd be happy to
so
help.
We'll throw up a couple of slides here that you can see an illustration of the tax categories for account concept. It has bucket pictures and everything. So you can look at that and kind of get an idea. And we can show also in there a case study where a couple just randomly pulls money from their accounts. So this would be what we would call the order of distribution. And typically what we see, if there's not any planning or advisor in the picture, is that people tend to pull money from the Roth accounts first and postpone the tax-deferred accounts until later because while we're managing our things, nobody likes to write a check out to the IRS. And so if we can postpone that, we do. Well, all things being equal, same rate of inflation, same accounts, same allocations, but by simply using software to determine what to draw from first, we can give that couple maybe another $1 million worth of spendable money during the retirement years, which may mean they don't run out of money, which we find is usually most people's biggest fear is they go into retirement, running out of money, right? And so we have to address the things that can help contribute to running out of money. One of those is not taking distributions in a tax-optimized manner, and that can make a big difference over time. So we would encourage you, if not us, to seek out some professional somewhere that has experience, that is a fiduciary, at building plans that are going to optimize your assets for your retirement in the future.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, everyone.
If you found this information useful, please share it. If there is something you hear that raises a question, you can sign up for our free consultation as well as sign up for our free newsletter. Visit askscottnelson.com to sign up. Thanks for listening. Remember, if you plan well, you can retire happy.
The information provided is for educational purposes only and is not intended as investment advice for anyone. All information discussed is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. The views presented today are those of SLN Financial Incorporated and do not necessarily represent the views of Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC. The opinions expressed are subject to change without notice and do not constitute financial, legal, or tax advice. Please consult your financial professional before executing any financial strategy. Investment advisory and financial planning services are offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Alpha Star and SLN Financial Incorporated are independent entities.